Good evening, everyone. Nice to see you all. Some of you I've seen recently, others not. And I was not here speaking last week. It was Joa who was speaking. Joa Sensei. I don't know who among you was there then either, but it doesn't really matter. Today I had an appointment with my acupuncturist in another part of the city, and it was a strike day today in France. So I was expecting problems on the public transport. And it was pouring rain when I left my house. So I had rain boots, an umbrella, a raincoat. And I took the metro and no problem whatsoever. Quicker than usual even, I had to go. It was by the Luxembourg Garden, which is not so close to my house. And when I came up out of the metro, it was kind of lightly sprinkling. And there were huge, huge, huge crowds, because what I didn't realize was that the protest march was, I guess, starting near there or going past there, I don't know. So there were many, many, many people. I stood and watched for a little bit and kind of got absorbed in it. And then I remembered, oh no, I have an appointment that I have to go to. So I went. And when I came out of my appointment, it was not raining. The sky was bright blue. I put on my sunglasses. Again, metro, no problem whatsoever. All kinds of people in the metro. And when I got out of the metro with my house, same thing, sunny, blue sky. It struck me that how many expectations I had of what would happen, sometimes strike days in France are just hell, you know, if you have to use the public transport, or if you have children in school, or if you have, you know, some administrative thing you need done or something, can be just terrible, terrible, terrible. So I was expecting something like that. It wasn't. I prepared for the rain, and actually there was very little rain. I felt like I had the wrong shoes, the wrong coat when I was coming home because it was sunny. The people that I saw at the protest march, I realized very quickly my preconceived notions about them. The trade unions and their attitudes and their slogans and things. And I realized how quickly all of that, if I let that go, then if I we say completely sit on the ground of life. So if I completely sit on the ground of life, without all of my ideas and expectations, it's a wonderful experience, in fact. I would not have seen those people. I would not have experienced that the protest march, the rain, the sun, the clouds, the no clouds. I was much more attentive to the metro once I let go of my expectations, much more attentive to the sky. I wouldn't have even noticed the sky probably had I been stuck in my ideas. And maybe part of my ease with doing this was at the weekend when I was in Germany, we did a writing workshop and we used this koan, a koan from the Heikigen Roku, case number 9, which is a monk asks Joshu, what is Joshu? Not who is Joshu, but what is Joshu? Joshu being this great master from the golden age of Zen in China. We've encountered him before in koans and in stories. And so the monk asks him, what is Joshu? And Joshu says, East Gate, West Gate, North Gate, South Gate. This is a way of saying, you know, sometimes we say the 10,000 things. This is like saying 84,000 gates. Gates being entrances. And at the time in China, villages, towns, cities, just like everywhere, had gates to enter. And they would close the gates at night and open them during the day. And it was at night you weren't allowed in. But there were gates to the city. We still have those in our European cities. You know, in Paris, we have, we call them portes, but they're all still there, even though there aren't actual physical gates there, but it's called, they're still called gates, portes, doors, actually. So Joshu's saying the east, he is the east gate, the south gate, the west gate, the north gate. He's wide open. That's every direction, right? And so what we explored during my workshop was that each and every moment is a potential gate if we really pay attention. And I experienced that today. You know, everything, if I was really paying attention, it was all gates. Gates to this moment, gates to the way things, seeing things as they are, gates to being free of attachments and opinions, gates to freedom, not having a fixed idea. Joshu has no fixed idea about what or who Joshu is. It's like sometimes we say, whatever the cat brings in, you know? It's an expression in English we have, that because cats bring all kinds of things in when you let them outside. So we say, whatever. Whatever is in this moment, that's what Joshu is. And it's not anything mystical and esoteric, you know. As I told you about my day, it's just really that. Just really stepping into the day as if the day, every moment is the ground of awakening, because it is. There's nowhere else to do it except right here. So I said, you know, maybe from, because we had worked on it all weekend, maybe that is still present with me. But in any case, I became very aware of how many expectations I had and the size of the expectations, the number and the size and the quality of the expectations. When things didn't happen like I'd expected them to happen. Now, maybe if I had expected it to be bright and sunny and it was raining, it would have been different. Maybe I had expected the metro to be functioning perfectly and it hadn't, maybe it would have been different. Maybe not. Generally, you know, when our expectations, when it's something we don't want, like, of course, I wanted the metro to run well, but maybe it actually wasn't running as well as I thought it was, but it was, I let go of thinking how it should run, so it was fine. And the protest march. So when I arrived, there were, you know, just huge crowds of people marching, chanting, everything. When I came out from my appointment, the rain had stopped. It was bright and sunny, and there was nobody. It was as if nothing had even happened there. And I had almost had to think, wait, did this really happen? Of course, I knew it did, but there was like no trace, no trace of it, no trace of rain, no trace of protest march. It was a different world. It was a different world. So, the same thing is true every moment. Like I said, you know, every moment is a Dharma gate if you pay attention. So does anyone want to tell us about their day with their Dharma gates? Or or not seeing the Dharma gates? Of course, you can always ask questions about that or something else.
I'll go since Freddy, you were about to speak? No. Okay. I'm happy that you mentioned this gate thing, because I've, over the past few weeks, I've said many times, like, how the our third vow that we translate as, that we sing as, reality is boundless. The former translation was the Dharma gates are boundless.
Yes.
And I like that image also because it's hollow, actually. It's also, I mean, all the gates in Paris that are still, that still remains, it's like physical, but at the same time, it's hollow. As for my day, I went teaching, which is in Boulogne, which is really, like, it took me an hour to get there, and I biked, and it was really, really beautiful. I love the bike ride. And then I arrived, I was a little bit disappointed because I had forgotten it was like strike. It came to mind afterwards, actually, but there were less people than last time. So I had expectations. There were like fewer people. And then I got home and I was struggling, procrastinating a lot. Trying to write and was unable to write. Facing difficulties, in the face of difficulties, was just difficult to be just right there. And so didn't do it. Was not succeed. But I also know that it's just, it's part of the job to actually just go around and and try to do something that I have difficulty to do. It was very frustrating. So. I forgot actually exactly what it is, but I think behind me is a calligraphy that obviously has to do with the horse, but there was something about when you're right here, right now, there's no success or failure, something like that. It has to do with something like that. Mm. So I'm trying to remember that.
Hi, good night, good evening, everyone. My dishwasher is broken and they are only coming to fix it next week. So we've been doing dishes all day. And today after dinner, I was doing dishes and my husband came to me and said, "So, are you having..." He said, "Are you annoyed for doing the dishes or are you having a Zen moment?" And I said, I thought about it for a while and I was like, "No, I'm not having a Zen moment. I'm just doing the dishes." Like, I was not in totally bliss doing the dishwasher, but I was not annoyed. I was just doing the dishes, and then I have my way, my system, doing the dishes, and he has his system, and then he comes to me, and you know, he sees me doing dishes, and he said, "Oh, I can give you a tip of next time, you can do this, and that," and I let go. I was like, first, I said, "So you have your system, I have my system. And so when it's you, you do it the way you want. Now it's me, I do this way." But then I let go. I thought about, you know, what does it matter how we wash the dishes? And what does it matter if he says that this or that? But what if just receive it and, okay, thank you. That I wanted to share.
Good evening, everyone. It's interesting, Sensei, this sentence. When you're fully here, there's no success or failure. That rang something in me about my day. It was a significant day because I started teaching classes, which is something I've never done. I'm not a teacher. I was never trained to be a teacher. It's strictly out of necessity, and this is what's available. And it's not something that I never wished to do it. It was never my intention, but out of necessity. And actually, it's interesting because when I was there, I had two groups today. When I was there, yeah, there was no, there was no, there was no success or failure, I guess. There was no, I want to be here or I don't want to be here. I want to do this or I don't want to do this. I was just there and responding. Of course, there are a couple of stuff that I need to keep paying attention to. There are a specific number of things that I need to say, supposedly, but if I forget, it's not a big deal. So it can still be, I can still say, okay, this is not something that as an option, I wouldn't choose to do this. I wouldn't choose to do this. I go ahead and I do it, and I don't know exactly what. It's very recent, but there's something in there. There's something in that experience. I don't know what it is, but there's something in that experience of, you know, this is not an option. I'm not choosing to do this. Well, I am in a way, of course, but you know. And yet, just being there and responding. There's something in that experience. If I thought really hard, maybe, well, it's not the first time, probably, you know, this kind of, it's very vivid right now. Thank you.
Good evening.
Nice to see you. Nice to be back here. Well, speaking about being a teacher, well, I'm a teacher for more than 40 years, but I'm very happy to be an art teacher because it changes everything, and I still feel that I'm quite free to in my space and in my time with my students.
and that makes all the difference. Today, in a way, because I had some health problems, and today I was back to school. But I let them with a piece that I started this summer in nature. I started a piece with some friends outside in the middle of trees. But then, as there were the danger of fires and things, we had to take it out. And so I brought it with me and I put it in the school, and I told the story of this piece to the students, which is a long story that I'm not going to tell here because it's too long. But I told them that this piece has many, many, many layers. And so I let them with this piece, and I was away. And today, they call it, we call it, the piece was a baby. I don't know where it started, but the piece was a baby. So we look at it, we wrapped it, and we put it in a safe place, and it's there waiting for the following up that will come Sunday. This all happened in an atmosphere that, and this again about being a teacher, this happened in a atmosphere that is so different of everything, you know, I've been going through in my work, because things really change, you know, things are so different, and I'm getting old, and they are so young, and my student, my fellows, the ones that I work with, they are so young too, you know, and sometimes I felt that, well, and that today I told them, what are you talking about? I feel like, you know, I belong to another planet. Speaking about fiction, science fiction, and bitcoins and things, and it all came part of the work. And I said, well, I'm not following. I'm completely out of that subject. And it's happening very often, but I don't care, you know. I really don't care, because there is a, I feel there is a, some respect or something about that. I respect that science fiction conversation, and they respect my kind of conversation and my kind of teaching, what I have to teach and what I can share with them. So we were there listening to each other, and it was very early in the morning when it started. So it started, it was 8 in the morning. So it started very slowly. And it was like it, like I was never a teacher before. It was something so new, so different.
So we can hear in all these stories of everyone, the gates, if we pay attention, you know, if we pay attention, they're all stories about paying attention. And, you know, like Laura, if, you know, Gunnar says, are you having a Zen moment? And we don't really know what he meant by a Zen moment, but she said, no, I'm not having a Zen moment. And yet she's having a Zen moment. Every moment is a Zen moment, but if we're paying attention, you know.
Good evening, everyone. I really like to hear the word science fiction and cryptocurrency in the same word, the same sentence. Because it really feels like that to me. And I'm probably in the young spectrum that Anna was referring to. So I had, as I always do, I plan my day to the minute with things I have to do between 9 and 5 for work. And I had planned to do just one project and prepare a talk that I'm gonna give tomorrow. I was expecting to be all by myself in my workshop and have music blasting and in my moment and all of that. And halfway through the morning, my studio mate comes in, and I wasn't expecting her at all. But then, I mean, I was able to share a few ideas of what I was doing, what I was preparing for a talk tomorrow. We had lunch together. I didn't do as much as I wanted to do. But yeah, it was fine. It just went into in the flow of things. And yeah, and now I'm here and I still have work to do afterwards. But yeah, you go moment to moment, I guess. Yeah, that is briefly my day. Thank you.
Good night, everyone. A door is always a mystery. You never know who's gonna come through that door. Never know when. A door can be something that you open. Sometimes there's nothing. It's always a mystery. Never know what's going to happen. That's why it's we call it a door, but every threshold is a door. You never know what's going to happen beyond the door. I went out this morning and I saw my neighbor down on the floor. She was down in the street on the pavement. I was shocked. So I ran to her and help her. I never see her. She's never there. She's quite old, so she's never out. I help her to go to her house. I picked up her mail. I was worried. She said, "I'm all right, I'm all right. Thank you, thank you." She was happy, but I was happy that I was there. There was no one in the street. No one in my street. It's a back street. Sometimes there's cars, but not so many in this street. And not many people going by. Sometimes children and their parents, when they go to the school that is nearby, but it was not that time of the day. So we had a chance to talk briefly because I never saw her. I said, "Oh, I'm your neighbor, you remember me?" She said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. How is your mother?" So you go through that door, you never know what's gonna happen.
I'm finding it really interesting to hear y'all's stories because I also had a very unexpected day, but as I listened to you, I realized that I hung on to my vision of what it was going to be like way beyond the point when it was really necessary. I have a Thursday afternoon meeting in Paris that is I'm tired of. I'm tired of the people. I'm tired of going there. It's been going on too long, but I can't seem to get out of it for the moment. And I don't like the trip, and I get there and I'm not crazy about the activity. And so I woke up this morning thinking, I don't want to do this. And it's very strange because last night already, my students, my Wednesday night students said, "Don't forget, Deb, tomorrow there's a train strike." But it didn't compute somehow. So I spent until after 10, and I'd been up since 7, saying, "Ugh, why do I have to do this? And what am I gonna do? And then I have to rush back here. And when do I eat?" And just turn it. And then all of a sudden I said, this is the wrong attitude. Now, are you a Zen student or what? Let's do something pleasant. There's a McDonald's. Get yourself a milkshake. Do something to kind of enhance this moment. I don't want to hear any more about this. And then all of a sudden, I started to look up because I have to leave quite early because the connections of the train and everything. I always look up the LRB to make sure that I have a train. And when I typed it in the phone, it reminded me that today was a mouvement social. And I felt like a kid that had been let out of school. So, I don't have to go. But I knew that from the night before. It was so strange. I got on this roll of I'm going to suffer and I'm going to bitch about it. And I couldn't switch. So all of a sudden I had this moment of great elation. Then everything opens up. It's like, "Oh, what do you want to do?" Somebody called and said, "What are you going to do today?" I said, "I don't know. I'm just all these possibilities. I can't go anywhere because actually there are buses out here all the time, even during COVID and stuff. But I said, since there's no transportation, maybe I'll just walk around." But I felt like I discovered the word freedom. It was so odd. And as I say, as you've been talking, I think that was really a long delay between my perception of reality and my clinging on to my attitude about what I thought was going to happen. I have that a lot, so I'm used to it. But still, in this case, it was quite obvious. It was quite lengthy since I had been told the night before. And I remember one time we did this thing at Dana. I'm not real sure what it was. We had different colored glasses, like 3D glasses, and some were red and some were blue and some were green. And then we were talking about our experience in them. And I realized it was the same effect that my imagination, I had red, and my imagination of red was stronger than those red glasses, than the reality of red. Well, that's what this morning felt like. My imagination, what a bad day I was gonna have, was more real than reality. What can I say? It's odd.
Good evening. I feel I am in between two things because I let my work that I have done during 11 years, and I began another work. And I'm in between these two things. I'm preparing to begin the work the 1st October. And I call the people to say that I don't do anymore the other things, and I all the things we need to do to prepare the end of one thing that have so many I feel in between, a piece from a puzzle. This puzzle was made one day, last day, and today it's everything new to do another way, to try another way to do this puzzle. And in this between, I see many new things that I didn't done for many time. Yesterday, the other day, I had a meeting to prepare my new work, and I was very, so many things in my head. I became very tired, and to prepare the things and to let the old things go. And yesterday I decided to sit here, to make tea, a cup of tea, and to begin to write all the things they give me to do for my new work. Even very simple things, but I began to write my, and I feel so good, but because so many times that I didn't sit in a place with the paper and writing without a computer, it was very, I discovered new things in this between. It's very interesting. When I open of this, because I am also afraid of this changing. And I try to be open for this. When I'm able to be open, I discover good things, pleasant things.
More and more gates. Wow. And things happening that, like, we don't expect them. When I was in Germany, and the first night I had to give a talk, a public conference talk. And I mentioned, because the Queen's funeral was so present, and it was like, you know, this worldwide viewing event. And I mentioned a perspective on it that I had read, which I shared with Tiago actually, of a Vedanta teacher who rightly so, I believe, pointed out that the Queen, the reason that this was so important for everyone, whether you liked the Queen or not, but the meaning of the Queen is the absolute, eternity. She represented the absolute. And as Churchill famously said to her when she was going off on one of her early visits, her, you know, tours of the Commonwealth or something, "Remember, ma'am, when people look at you, they should see eternity." And she understood that. And that's how she devoted her life to serving that role, which was above politics, above differences. Sometimes she didn't succeed entirely, sometimes she did, whatever, but that was her point. So I was talking about this, and at the end, when I opened up for questions and some people asked questions, and a guy raised his hand and he said, "Well, I'm English. And I made a point of, for the past 10 days, not turning on the television, not turning on the radio, so that I didn't have to see or hear any of this. The last place I expected to hear it was coming here tonight to a Buddhist center and hearing a Zen teacher talk." And he said that, you know, "I guess maybe I missed something," which was quite extraordinary, that he could open and say, "Maybe I missed something. Maybe his ideas about the Queen, the funeral, all of the ceremony and ritual, maybe he missed something." He was able to say that, you know, doesn't live in England, but he's British. He grew up in London and went to university and works abroad, but, you know, he's English. Can we all say that, you know? "Oh, maybe I missed something." And as soon as we say that, then we're not missing anything anymore. It's like when we're counting our breath and we get lost, and we come back, when we realize we've lost the count, we're not lost anymore. We're there, fully there. And all these stories you're telling, there was a moment there of, oh yes, of being really aware, being present, just with what is. Being sitting completely on the ground of awakening. Kodya.
You know, it's weird because I think I'm a little lost at the moment. I mean, at this moment of my life, I think I'm a little lost. And the fact is, what is weird is because I'm lost, I'm like very more present to each moment. Because normally I have like a direction and I'm going straight forward and... But this time, because I lost my direction, I'm like kind of, you know, on a boat, and I'm trying to see the gates because I'm looking for the gates because I'm sure that maybe there's a gate you were talking about, but I'm like so fed up to do everything. I mean, for 52 years, I do everything. I mean, I'm like. And now I maybe because I'm lost, I'm like waiting a sign from somewhere to arrive, you know, or maybe to, I don't know. I'm waiting for something, maybe, I don't know. I'm like, I'm not in the train anymore. I sat, you know, I don't know how you say, but I sat off the train. I ran off the train. And, but, That feeling, which is kind of a little scary by some moments, but as a matter of fact, it's very nice too. It's kind of scary and nice at the same moment because I really, I'm more aware of everything around me. So it's weird because that's what I'm, like it, because I was thinking of today, and today it's like exactly that. I was kind of I was supposed to do something, and I never did what I was supposed to do, but I did, I don't know, but it was like a very nice day, very very open to everything that happened. But I don't think I can go on like that very long, but today it was like that. I don't even know there was a strike in Paris. So to tell you how lost I am. Okay, that's just.
Yeah. Like we say about this practice, you know, it's we cultivate the ground so that accidents will happen. So, you know, it's like stepping off the train and not knowing where you're going and then meeting just what is. Instead of what we planned, or instead of what we hoped for, or what we were looking for. Just this. And we just never know, as people kept saying, we just never know. That guy in Hamburg had no idea that he would come in and listen to this Zen teacher talk and hear all about the Queen, you know. I read an article today about a famous woman, mountaineer and skier. She climbed all these amazing mountains, you know, all the greatest mountains. And then she would ski down them. It's like really extreme thing. And she was really famous, and she died on Monday, skiing down off of a peak in the Himalayas with her partner. And she got caught in an avalanche and died. And they, in this article, it quoted her as saying that she did what she did because she, for 20 years, you know, she was always climbing new mountains and more extreme stuff. And she said she did that because she was terrified of every day being the same. So she constantly sought something else. And I thought, how tragic, you know, that she did these amazing things. You know, so she must have really been an extraordinary and brave person, and you know, really, really gifted to do what she did. But the fact that you're terrified of every day being the same, so you seek something else, it just was tragic to me. And she, when she was coming down that mountain on Monday, I'm sure she was not seeking what she got. So every day is different. Every moment's different. We don't need to seek anything other than that. Just this. Every moment is a gate. Thank you all. I think we will stop there. We'll do the vows. I remind you that there's a study group on Saturday for those who are participating.